You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Twelve 21 on Zoomer Radio. Mary Beth Valentine is with me. She's the registrar and CEO of the Retirement Homes Regulatory Authority. Mary Beth, we met many, many years ago in
many
another mode.
Many years ago. We did.
We won't say how many years ago then, all right?
Far past talking about those years.
We're talking now, however, about the licensing of retirement homes. And the process is underway right now, correct me if I'm wrong, where all the retirement homes that would be, registered under the act would be required to send in their applications. Is that what's going on right now?
That's correct. We've sent out information to a list of close to 1,000 retirement homes that we're aware of in the province, telling them about the requirement to apply. We don't know whether they'll all meet the definition that's in the Retirement Homes Act or not, but it's important to try to do the outreach and reach as many as we can.
All right. Although there may be some you've missed, because it would be hard to get every single one, right?
Absolutely. This is the first time in Ontario that there ever has been licensing of retirement homes, which surprises an awful lot of people I talk to.
And unless you're a member of the Ontario Retirement Communities Association, you might go unnoticed, I would think.
That's true. Although there are some other nonprofit homes that belong to an association as well, and some other homes that are fairly active.
Now, when you say if they're applicable under the Act, it depends on how many residents are in the retirement home, does it not?
Yes, that's the first definition. Part of the definition is you have to have 6 beds or more. So if someone has under 6 beds, they definitely wouldn't apply.
But is that 6 beds of a certain age?
It's the majority over 65. So you could have only 6 beds, but 50% of them being people over 65 that they're geared for.
Oh, and some under as
and
well.
And some under as well. Right.
But the magic number is still 6.
Yes.
Okay. By putting it at 6, and I know there has to be a number somewhere, do you have any notion at this point, and I know it's early, of how many retirement homes would not be included because of that number limit?
Not really. And I'm not sure that we'll know that at the end of this process.
Yeah, because they didn't register.
They won't contact us. That could be true. There are other exemptions as well if people are running homes that have multi-uses, so that perhaps they're already getting funding from the Ministry of Health or the Ministry of
Community. In other words, they're operating as a care home.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Okay.
So some of those are exempted as well.
You're looking for straight and simple retirement homes.
Retirement homes, but some of them that are multi-purpose homes will fall under our jurisdiction as well. So we are, of course, we'll work with those homes to try to sort out whether, in fact, they do meet the definition.
Now, when they make application, how does that go for them? What is required from them? What do you need to know about their operation?
Well, we ask a number of questions in the application, and we've tried to keep it straightforward and simple. But the Act requires us to do an assessment that assures that they're competent to operate and to operate responsibly in accordance with the Act. So that's number one.
Yeah.
The second part of it is their past conduct. Have there been any concerns about resident safety, honesty, integrity, those types of things?
Well, you're expecting they will volunteer that information.
Well, yes. they will need to make declarations, but we will also we're also able to do inquiries both with them and with others about that.
Yeah.
And to send out inspectors in certain cases as well. And the third key thing that we'll be looking at is there a reason to believe that they're in a position to provide the care services or facilitate the care services that they say they're going to provide and meet the quality of standards that are going to be required?
I was speaking to Judith Wall a few moments ago from the Advocacy Center for the Elderly, and she was saying that's a huge problem area as far as she's concerned. Obviously, you recognize that same area.
Yes, yes. Judith has certainly, ACE has been very active in the area for years, and I respect their work and don't discount their concerns at all.
Do all retirement homes offer some level of care, or do some limit themselves to maybe a small amount of care, and then they're no longer eligible to be in that home? How are they working that?
Well, it's an important point, Dale, because it's another one of the criteria. In order to meet the definition in the Act, you need to be providing two care services. One of those is the provision of meals, and then there's a listing of other types of care.
Okay.
So some homes, in fact, say that they do not either directly provide any care, or that they do not indirectly provide care, which means they don't arrange for care services to come in.
So it's a whole gamut of
It's a whole
services.
Gamut of things. So it will still be interesting sorting out those that apply, those that don't apply because they don't believe
yeah.
they're covered, et cetera. And so we'll still have a road ahead of us over the next several months.
This will be a bit like a box of chocolates. You don't know exactly what you're going
to
get, do you?
To some extent.
Yeah.
To some extent.
The area of concern, if I can go back to what Judith was talking about in terms of having the residents who come in understand
yes.
the various levels of care and exactly what the prices are attached to each part of that so that no rude awakenings or terrible surprises come later on.
Again, a very important issue. One of the interesting things required of the Act is that we must establish a public register. The authority must establish a public register. So we actually have a register ready to go with the first application that comes in.
Uh-huh.
And we will have the status showing of whether their homes are applicants, whether they're licensed, mm-hmm. whether they have conditions on their license, certain things like whether they have sprinklers or not. And if there were issues or concerns around inspector reports, the final report would also have to be posted. So this is important information
that anyone could access
yeah. to help make that decision around, making good choices for yourself, your parent, whatever.
So officially, you haven't licensed any homes yet?
No.
They will be licenced after July 1st? Is that...
They could actually be licensed before if they apply before.
So if they apply before, you could license them in a reasonable amount of time.
We could. They must apply by July 3rd.
Right.
That's the deadline, 5 o'clock, July 3rd, for applying. And if they apply by that time, they will be deemed to be licensed. We still will have to issue a license, but we will use a risk-based type of approach to licensing. So some homes that we don't have as much concern about from the initial assessment and their history and the rest
yeah.
of it will get a license more easily. And others where we have already had inspectors out in some cases or have concerns or other information is apparent that creates concerns, they definitely will have inspections before a decision is made.
I understand that. Have you already received complaints or comments from about some of the homes? I mean, are you working from base information about homes that you might want to have a look around in?
We have a small amount of experience. We have been, we've had inspectors into over 150 homes at this point. Last May, actually, the government brought in the sections of the Act that require people to report a risk of harm. It relates to abuse, neglect, fraud. So in those cases, if we receive those types of reports around harm, I must send an inspector out as the registrar.
That was one of the first steps before the regulatory authority actually got up and running.
It was the very first sort of active part of the operations of the authority. But we had limited powers because until we have licensees, we have limited powers.
Well, because then you can yank a license, one assumes,
yes.
in the most extreme of
yes.
cases. Okay. Mary Beth Valentine is my guest, and she's the registrar of the Retirement Homes Regulatory Authority. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 416 360-0740 or 866-740-4740.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Mary Beth Valentine is here, the registrar of the Retirement Homes Regulatory Authority. Huh? Yes, the Retirement Homes Regulatory Authority, regulating retirement homes in Ontario. And there's still, I think, that gap and that bit of confusion about what exactly is a care home, a long-term care home, and a retirement home. There are some simple differences, are there not?
There are. And this is the first time in Ontario, of course, that we have been moving to licensed retirement homes in Ontario. So
yeah.
It is understandable that there's confusion for people. But certainly one of the key differences is that retirement homes are private industry. Some of them are for-profit, some of them not-for-profit. And they do not receive funding from government for care services. So people that live in retirement homes and have care service needs can purchase care services.
You pay for it. That's right.
You pay for it yourself.
As opposed to care homes where you go in and you're covered by the Ontario Health Care.
That's right.
It's a whole different kettle of fish that way. Does that necessarily mean, and I knew you were coming, I wanted to ask you this question, that the care you would get in a retirement home would be of a lesser quality than the care you would get in a care home?
Not necessarily, but it varies. And there are no standards in retirement homes at this particular time. I shouldn't put that quite that loosely. In fact, the association itself has moved over the last several years in trying to help educate and have certain standards brought in.
No, I understand that. We're going to hear more about that on Wednesday, as a matter of fact. But the other thing to remember is the retirement home is, I mean, you're regulated under the Residential Tenancy Act. It's like a landlord-tenant
right.
situation,
it
right?
Is, it
and
is
people
a,
have to remember that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So one of the important things about the Retirement Homes Act is the requirement that in the future, a home will have to clearly be able to describe what types of care services it is offering. So
yeah.
that you, if you need certain care services for your parent, you will know which ones are there. Or you going into a retirement home, know what they offer. Perhaps you have a condition that you don't really require that much care now, but you know that it's going to mean that you're going to need more services later on.
And you may get into a retirement home situation where the level of care that you may require someday won't be able to be provided by the retirement home. And if push came to shove, they would ask you to leave or evict you in extreme circumstances because they can't look after you and you would have to go to a care home.
That's true. Certainly at this point, there are many retirement homes that provide certain services but
yeah.
can't provide at the uppermost end
and
of need.
And it's not uniform. A retirement home will
That's
decide
right.
for itself how much level of care they will provide.
That's right. There's huge diversity in the retirement homes, both in the size of them and in the types of services they do provide.
You may have heard Louisa, who was on the phone just before you came into the studio when you were in Master Control, saying that her and her sister were going to check out what she thought was a retirement home where they charge $100 a day. Doesn't sound to me like that was a retirement home.
Well, it's hard to say. There are some retirement homes because they don't all operate at 100% level. So some of them do have sort of short-term availability. So perhaps
that could be true.
That could, yes, and that would still be true.
It would still be covered under the regulatory authority, would it not? Because it's a retirement home.
It's a retirement home, so
yeah,
those,
so that
those
would
services
be the,
would be in the future
okay.
covered. Yes.
All right. Okay. Well, we're all learning this together. Well, I'm you know it. I'm learning it together.
It's all new.
Here's Bud on his cell phone. Bud, you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. Actually, you guys have kind of answered my question. I was wondering what the difference between a retirement village, a retirement home, and a nursing home.
Okay, do you get it now a bit?
Yeah, I do. I kind of understand. I live in Barrie, and we have our name on the waiting list for a place at Tollendal Village.
That's a retirement home, is it?
it's a retirement. It's called retirement residence. It's like a retirement village. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is this the same Mary Ballantyne that was the executive director of CAS?
CAS? No, not CAS. I was at the Canadian Mental Health Association many, many years ago.
Okay, I'm sorry. There was a lady, Mary Ballantyne, used to be executive director of the Children's Aid Society in Barrie. She left.
Another
one. That's another Mary Ballantyne.
Yeah, anyway, so yeah, you guys did answer my question about the difference between the home and the village. And a nursing home offers more care rather than a retirement home.
A nursing home offers care at sort of the highest level of care need. And they are funded by the Ministry of Health to provide those care services. People still pay a certain portion for the residential part of a nursing home.
Right. Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right, Bud. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Okay.
Thank you.
And of course, the important thing for Bud and his wife to remember as well at this point, anyway, if they just were deciding to go there sometime very soon, to make sure that they understand the financial arrangements.
Absolutely.
How much money you pay for this, how much money you pay for that. All of that has to be stipulated in a lease, doesn't it?
Well, the Landlord-Tenant Act requires that certain things are stipulated. We, under this act, under the Retirement Homes Act, it will have to be much clearer what services a home is providing, how much those services will cost. The home will have to give notice ahead of time to people if they are going to be changing that. They actually have to give notice to the registrar of the authority.
Of changing a fee for a service. Okay.
Particularly the changing of the service is part of what we will put on our public register. So on our public register will be the basic information about a home and its status as a licensee and so on, but also the care services that they provide will be posted.
But that would still have to be under your regulations. Coming into a retirement home, somebody would be signing a lease, hopefully, that would show the lease amount, how much you're paying for your room there or whatever you've rented, and then stipulate the different levels of care with a price tag.
Yes.
You're going to have a price tag on this, and you're going to have to know exactly if it's level one care, what the heck is that? Level two or whatever.
Well, however they're describing it, they need to know. And I think I heard you speaking earlier with one of the guests around people need to understand what care it is they're paying for. Not they need to understand, well, is that on an hourly basis that I'm being charged that? Is that for a particular type of service? And that's an important aspect to know so that if someone says you need more care and we're going to charge you more, you understand what that is.
Because you could well find yourself in a situation where you go into the retirement home, you're in good health, your health fails after an extended period of time, and you'll get to the point where you may not be able to afford to stay there.
Well, that could happen.
That could happen easily.
That could happen. And it's important for people to understand when they go in what the situation is. Certainly, it's important for people to have choices. And we do believe that the majority of the industry wants to be providing good care, wants to be above board. But it is important for people to understand that they have the right to know certain information and to be able to get certain information and to be able to make those choices.
Here's Ted on the line from Bowmanville. Ted, do you have a question?
Hi, Daryl.
Hi.
What I was wondering was if the government's going to put all these regulations on nursing homes and et cetera, most of them are in there for profit. They're all there to make money. What happens to all these people if these nursing homes say they just don't want to abide by the regulations and they just say, the hell, it all shut down and they're going to some other type of business?
Well, I guess they could always, if you're talking about a retirement home, I guess they could do that, Mary Beth.
Well, we're going to end up a lot of people that are, where are they going to go?
Well, yeah.
Well, I do think that, you have a good concern, and it's a legitimate concern. I think we'll find that the vast majority of the industry is anxious to be able to move forward and provide the types of care services and provide and gradually be able to get into compliance with the types of standards. There may be some that just can't do that. It may be the clientele, their catering to, that they're providing their services to, and those we'll have to work with to try to help them understand what they need to do to come into compliance, and some of them may determine that that is not for them, and
that may mean that
people have to relocate.
Yeah, that might be Ted and Mary Beth as well. That might be the attitude of somebody who's a relatively small operator who thinks, no, I really don't want to go in for all this burdensome licensing, blah, blah, blah. But that would be, of course, their decision.
Yes, that's correct.
And if they don't abide by the regulations, are they just going to shut them down?
Well, I mean, you'd lose your... Well, Ted, thanks for your call. That brings up a very good point in all of this. If everybody's licensed, mm-hmm. you're going along, you're doing your thing, and you get a number of complaints that remain unresolved about a retirement home, how many teeth do you have in your regulatory authority? What can you do?
Well, ultimately, we could revoke a license if we issued a license in the first place. There are ways of... I think the important thing to remember is that in the beginning, part of our role is education and information and helping people. We don't want to go out with a big stick right at the start. We want to give people the opportunity to understand what is required and to decide whether they do want to come in compliance or not. And if not, if they choose to do something else, that's fine.
You still got to show them the stick once in a while, though,
yes,
don't you?
But I mean, this is consumer protection. This is for protection of seniors.
Yeah.
So ultimately, we have an enforcement requirement under the Act as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we could revoke a license. We can put conditions on a license. We could charge penalties. So there's a variety of things that we could do in stages, I suppose one might say, that would either help people decide they're going to get into compliance or they are going to do something else, or we could close them down.
But certainly the big operators will do all they can to comply and get a license because, of course, it's their business.
It's their business. They want to be in it.
It's their business. They chose to be in the business.
That's right.
And if it discourages some of the smaller operators, that might be a good thing.
Well,
you know, as far as tenants are concerned, as those who would go into these homes are concerned.
Whether it's big or small or somewhere in between, I think the main thing is the concern around the quality of services that people are saying they're providing and actually providing. And that's what's of utmost concern to us.
Do you anticipate that over the coming years there will be an increasing demand for retirement homes?
Oh, absolutely. We have more people in Ontario this year for the first time that are over 65 than under 15. We all know we're living longer and healthier, thank goodness.
Yep.
But we also know that if we live long enough, we are probably going to need some help and support at some point.
Yeah. And in many ways, I mean, you're charting some new territory here.
It is.
There's some effort underway in BC, but the way I understand it, it's not nearly as involved and detailed as the regulatory authority here in Ontario. So we're kind of out in the pointed end a bit.
We are. The BC program has actually received a fair bit of criticism in recent months from the Ombudsman and others.
It's an entirely different
system. It's an entirely different type of system.
Yeah.
And Quebec also has some regulatory requirements, but again, quite different than we have here. This is new legislation. It's new ground. I think most people that are concerned and involved believe it's absolutely a fantastic step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Is it perfect? Nothing's ever going to be perfect, especially first time out the door, and we will have to learn.
You may encounter situations you had never anticipated in the first place.
I'm sure we probably will. We try to anticipate, but we are apt to encounter things we have not anticipated.
Now, despite the fact that essentially the legislative authority is under the Residential Tenancy Act, you'll certainly be dealing with those issues, but can you also deal with issues that would be more along the lines of the quality of care being offered?
Well, maybe I can just clarify. The retirement homes are under the Residential Tenancies Act, and that's for the agreement about housing.
Yeah.
And the new Retirement Homes Act doesn't interfere with anything that's already in place, but it does bring newer, tighter higher standards, if I could put it that way, and has specific standards related to care.
So then that's where that would be covered off in the new
that's
act.
That's right. That's
so
right.
If somebody is complaining about the quality of care in a retirement home, that is still something you'd act upon.
Yes, there will be certain, the regulations will be phased in over the next 18 months. And so that, again, it gives people the opportunity to learn about the regulations, to come in compliance with the regulations. And also there are certain rights for residents that are very clear in the act. There is a Bill of Rights that must be posted, actually, in that mailing I mentioned earlier to 1,000 people. We sent out a copy of the Bill of Rights that must be posted to all of them. There is a requirement that they must be allowed to establish a resident council if they care to do that, and that the home must be able to respond to those concerns within a 10-day period. So there are things that help to help people make better choices and to hopefully help them be able to speak up more clearly.
Yeah, and there will be homes, I'm assuming there will be homes that will not get a license in the first place. I mean, you're out inspecting homes now, your people have been out. I'm assuming there might be some homes that wouldn't even get a license in the first place.
Well, there are certainly homes that we would and that we will, as part of our original assessment, we will be determining which homes are higher risk, and those homes will receive an inspection. And there is the chance that some of them won't receive a license right at the start. We will want to, however, try to work with homes to determine whether, in fact, they're able to and willing to come up to the types
two
of
different
standards.
Things, right? Will ultimately every home be over a longer period of time inspected?
Yes.
Is that your goal?
Yes. The legislation, the regulations
whether
require...
Whether
there are complaints or not. And part of it is to get the information out, because I know Judith Wall in the past has made the concern around not everyone is aware, and some are...
Or afraid to complain.
So it is important that we do education with both the homes and to get information out to residents and families. So it is important that we work with people over time and try to bring homes into compliance.
Mary Beth, thank you very much for coming in and explaining some of this to us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me, Dale.
Mary Beth Valentine is Registrar of the Retirement Home Regulatory Authority.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.